The Final Four is set. We welcome you into another Locked On College Basketball Bracket Breakdown. Alex Dono from Locked On Canes. I thought I was going to be talking to a sad Alex for much of that game. I've got to be honest with you. But oh my goodness, what a comeback win. I know you watched it on a plane. I think you said you switched with your wife and then you're responsible for this comeback win, right? Because you switched seats. So thank you for that. I'm sure many fans are very happy with that. But what does it mean to see this team after going to the Elite Eight make the Final Four this year?
Well, what Miami just did winning this game, literally the biggest victory in Miami Hurricanes basketball history. First ever trip to the Final Four, Kai. They were able to get to the Elite Eight last year. They were able to repeat that. And yeah, about 14 minutes left in this basketball game when Texas couldn't miss and they had a 13-point lead against Miami. Things were looking incredibly bleak. It was just unbelievable. You know, Miami throughout the regular season had this knack for blowing big leads. Now they've developed a much more enjoyable habit, and that's coming back from big deficits, right? I mean, a lot of people thought they weren't going to come back against Drake in the opening round. Much more in control their previous two games against Indiana and Houston. And then in this one against Texas, the Longhorns were shooting lights out. Miami couldn't hit a three-point bucket all game long. They still found a way to scratch and claw their way back. It was incredible.
Just living for that drama, which we all love this time of year, of course. When they were down like that, it seemed that they just were struggling to kind of be themselves, right? And then whether, you know, people talk about the foul discrepancy or whatever, they were just going to the hole and getting fouled and making their foul shots. So you talk a little bit about that experience. They went to the Elite Eight. They talked about how that's motivated them this year, but they really used that to push them over the edge to make it to the Final Four this year, it seems.
Yeah, and the player that deserves, you know, the first game ball for this one was Jordan Miller because he was basically perfect in this performance. I mean, Miller was clutch 13 for 13 from the free throw line. He was 7 for 7 from the floor. You know, he was the guy who was knocking down those clutch free throws that helped Miami get back into this basketball game. Isaiah Wong was also a huge part of the comeback when he started making those contested jumpers late in the game. He didn't really flash that much in the box score, 14 points, 5 for 12, but he started to hit his shots when it mattered most. And I think the most remarkable thing about this comeback was the fact that Miami was able to do it despite the fact that Norchad Omier was in foul trouble really the entire game. I mean, from the opening couple of minutes when he picked up a quick first foul, and then Jim Larrañaga was very conservative, put him on the bench for a big portion of the first half. And then in the second half, he was playing for most of it with four fouls. It was pretty remarkable that he never actually picked up his fifth and was able to make some clutch defensive plays in the process. So Miami was able to get this comeback and win this historic victory, despite the fact they only hit 2 3-point shots. I mean, a couple nights ago, Kai, they shot 11 for 25 from three in that victory against Houston. And then this time around, they basically did it ignoring the 3-point line completely.
Pretty cool, though. Shows you're well-rounded. You guys win in tons of different ways. Also, Omier did have that foul trouble, but he didn't play like it, which I think sometimes mentally can affect a player. And it didn't seem like he was still reaching in there, trying to get the ball, like doing everything he needed to do, which I'm sure was a little stressful for you to watch. Let's talk a little bit about Jim Larrañaga. Obviously, he's been to the Final Four before in a more of a Cinderella fashion, but this is kind of cool to see the progression. And obviously, he's been at Miami for a while now to just been able to develop the program to the point that it's at now. You really feel like he's kind of earned this and deserves this, and to see him make it to this point.
Yeah, okay. I think what impresses me most about Coach L, as we call him, is his versatility for adapting to whatever lineup he's got. Because Miami, you know, they don't have really an identity. Like, you don't think about, like, when you think about, like, the Princeton offense or something, or the Syracuse zone defense. Miami doesn't really have anything like that, because some years Coach L has big lineups. This year he's got a very, very small but athletic lineup, and he's been able to maximize that. You know, some years the depth chart has been incredibly thin. That was the case last year when they had their Elite Eight run. They had a 7-man rotation most of the season last year. He's always been able to adapt. I guess his trademark is not having a trademark. Like, he can really work with any kind of a roster, and he's been around forever. I'm not even sure how old Jim Larrañaga is at this point. He might be 150. He might be 65, somewhere probably in between that, but there's nothing he hasn't seen, and there's no situation he hasn't had to adapt to in the past. So he's really done an amazing job maximizing this team. I mean, one of the examples of that came up during the week is Miami guard Wuga Poplar, who, you know, was not a very strong defensive player last year. And he has improved so much in that aspect. He's always been a gifted shooter and scorer, but now he's become a really well-rounded defender. So you see examples like that of Jim Larrañaga able to improve players during their time at the U.
And it's very unique because most coaches are kind of like, this is how I'm going to run my team no matter what, whether or not they have the personnel to do it. So to be able to adapt to that just shows it's pretty intelligent to do it that way, because sometimes you just don't have the manpower to do the certain things that you want to do. You guys love that don't pick us underdog sort of thing, at least this year around. I'm sure you're, other than FAU, probably the longer odds to go out in this one. UConn looked pretty good last round. A lot of people have been very impressed with what they've been able to do. How do you kind of see that? We're a little ahead, but how do you see that matchup going down?
Yeah, there may be a feeling among some that Miami is playing with house money at this point. I know that's not the way Coach L and his players are looking at it. They want to try and finish the job. And you hit the nail on the head when you talked about the don't pick us. That's been their rallying cry since before the tournament started. Yep. And outside of the Drake game, where Miami was favored in the opening round, they were underdogs against Indiana, underdogs against Houston. They were dogs against Texas. I think they really enjoy being that sort of team that comes from behind and creates that Cinderella type of narrative. And that's going to be certainly the case again against UConn. The margin for error shrinks a little bit every round, right? I doubt they're going to be able to beat the Huskies if they only hit 2 3-pointers. You're obviously going to have to replicate some of the things that they did in this victory against Texas. You want to get to the free throw line, be aggressive to the basket. Hopefully Omir doesn't have to play with 4 fouls for most of the second half again, and maybe Isaiah Wong gets a little bit hotter earlier in the game than later in the game. So Miami's got to be close to perfect. I mean, they just pulled off in this Elite Eight round the biggest victory in program history. I think in order to get to that championship game, they're going to have to play literally the best game, the best performance that Miami basketball has ever played. I think it's going to take that sort of an effort to get past UConn.
No getting behind early. Got to start. Got to get it going from the start. So a big, exciting week ahead. Obviously, got to recap that good game today. Alex Dono, Locked On Canes. I'm sure you'll have more for us. Of course, Locked On College Basketball has all of your March Madness covered for you. And it's all part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.